So obviously we're all Australians, and we had to fly 14 hours from Australia to Los Angeles. And then we had a quite a decent road trip in an SUV between.
Trip, yeah.
So we did the road trip, and I have to level with the listeners, right? I heard the 6-minute spiel, no exaggeration here. I must have heard it a dozen times. Lads, is that fair? Is that fair?
Yeah, I reckon it was more.
And it got to a point where if one of them was sick and couldn't take the stage, I think the other two guys in the car could have done it, because we heard it so many times. I knew, dude, a bassist guy knew how to talk about Jason and Webbed Impro. You know, it was freaky. So we heard it several times, and I think Matt recorded several incidents along the way. And we did a number of geocode locations all the way from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, which made...
Strange gases on the road from LA and Vegas.
Yeah.
That'll be part of the Blue Label podcast, Matt, so we're going to have to keep it clean for the kiddies. Then we'll have an after 10 p.m. for the adults.
Well, my kids go for pop jokes all the time.
What is that noise, Dad?
No, it's not a comment.
All right. So we heard it a number of times, so there was a lot of practice. We heard it a lot of times. There was a lot of anxiety to get it right. There was a constant looking at the stopwatch to make sure that the number 6 was never exceeded. So it was all rehearsed and practiced many, many, many times to get it right on the night.
We did have a good feeling, though. We kind of got a prediction of the results on our road trip, if you got to mention, Tony. So what happened on our road trip with no predicted this outcome? How often do you get such a classic hole-in-one which takes out the opposition? You got to see the video of this. It's, I don't know if you can stick the YouTube link up on this, Tony, but if you look at it in slow motion, Tony's got a prime position. Al just takes him out and slam dunks his ball in a hole-in-one. It was just such a classic. It was so important to him.
It is.
It was really a triumph of VO.
Robbo, every time we do a road trip, Los Angeles to Vegas, we always stop, the first stop is always In-N-Out Burger. Can I do a small ad for In-N-Out? They are the best freaking right. burgers in the known universe. Matt, can I say, is that fair? In the known universe, right?
Known universe, yeah. No, that's it.
Right, so after In-N-Out, we're always looking for a mini golf course. And I think we've settled on the one mini golf course that we've been. And we're always looking for an omen on the mini golf course. And it came in the form of a hole-in-one from Alistair. And it was caught on video. So we tried to take the flip cam for a behind-the-scenes view of the preparation to Tech Ed and to Demo Gem. So on the podcast, I'll put a link to the YouTube channel. And you too can relive the hole in one.
Well, if you get a hole in one, it doesn't matter if it's mini golf or wherever it is. You want to make sure someone's got a videotape, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there's any other shots we didn't want video of that we unfortunately got through that.
Matt played, I think, the worst hole in history. I think he got 17 or something, Matt. Is that right?
I think someone else cheated on one hole too because they were getting upset. But anyway, that's another story, isn't it?
That was just
that
was a wayward kick. There was nothing more. It was nothing sinister. Just a foot in
you
the wrong
to
place.
The whole golf course to get your ball.
I think we got another couple of things I wanted to squeeze in. So when we were preparing for the final submission, right after you had put something in and you've got selected, you were due for an interview with Craig, and I think he was looking to do the whole WebEx thing where you would get to produce the 6 minutes at an ungodly hour to convince him that you had something worthy. And Matt's put in the call and he said, dude, I think we need to do a bit of work to tidy this up. I think it's good, but it could be great. We're missing a little bit more. So we brainstormed the idea of an innovation garage. We came up with the concept of an innovation garage. And what the concept was that I'd fly Matt in, I'd have Al in, we'd provide all the things which a techie needs. So we'd provide the best computers, we'd provide flip charts, we'd provide beer and pizza, we'd provide some healthy food. I think we had some chocolates and some peanuts for the health fanatics.
Red wine?
I think we did have a few wines in the. I think we had some hard stuff, Al, in the liquor cabinet. I think there was some Black Label in there. So we had the Guitar Hero hooked up to the big projector and the speakers. I think we had some Slipknot playing, and Al was into the really, really heavy edge stuff to try and unwind. And we went almost a whole day, so including picking up Matt and dropping him off at the airport and the lunch. We did a whole day. We tried to include as many people from the office as we could, so everybody sparked one another and saw what it was like. We even had the sales staff in, the junior bassist guy in, and we all really participated and had a look at how things kicked along. And what we saw was the evolution of something quite good into something extremely good. And by the end, once they presented it back to the rest of the guys in the office, everyone was really, really pleased with the way it looked. And we got a bunch of videos, again, on the YouTube channel. I think, Al and Matt, have I described it fairly? Is that how...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we went a full day, so it was, I think, from 10 o'clock until 6 p.m., so it was a full and heavy day. But I think there was quite a bit of fun. And it was good to see pretty much the same format at the Innovation Weekend for SAP. So it was a bunch of techies. They were fed. They were given what they needed. They had all the equipment, all the access, all the IP. And you come up with something quite exciting at the end of this.
Fly in, fly out. But it had to be in Hobart next time, okay, guys?
I wouldn't mind that, actually. Matt, truth be known, we intended to come to Hobart, but we just couldn't get the flights. So it was.
And you definitely brought a grand.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
So we're taking the concept and we're making it. Al and I are trying to make it a regular thing. So our Fridays are spent inside the office trying to develop some sort of intelligence or some sort of innovation which wouldn't otherwise happen, because often a customer doesn't ask you for something. So we try and create some unsolicited excitement about what might be. And since we've come back from TechEd, we've actually put together a couple of exciting things which may find their way into Semestian weblogs in the future. So we've dabbled in some iPad development, we've dabbled in some other mobility, a little bit of form. So we've dabbled in things that we wouldn't otherwise mess about with. And I think what's come out of it is a really good offering for business process monitoring. So we've got a hardened BP Mon offering, which we can show some customers, which we didn't have before the Innovation Garage concept. And now we've got capability with Mac development, which is really exciting. So Robbo, if you're looking to get into some of the newer stuff, we devote some time and we're in the conference room, and anybody in the organization can join us and throw their hat in the ring and throw up an idea. And we work through things systematically like a research and development lab to try and get something up one day a week.
Great idea, mate. And you know, it's good if you can follow through with it, because I've got to say, I've heard that idea from lots and lots of people, lots and lots of my customers. It's just such a difficult thing to follow through with and commit with sort of week in, week out, because you know, the lure of the dollar gets in the way, doesn't it?
It does.
We'll see how long we carry it on for. So it's been a month now, so we've done four or five of these. So hopefully we carry it forward.
Yeah, the signs are good, because in my experience, there's lots of people that have committed to do that, and they really got to the second one.
You mentioned something in planning about the blogging. And since we're on the air and this is going to be recorded, I reckon we need to get Al to commit to his blog about Demo Jam.
Well, that's cruel, Matt. You're going to put Al on the spot during the podcast.
When can we expect your blog?
How would I just keep to delivering a blog?
I recognise your blog. You're not going to commit on the podcast?
You know I'm
going to
do it.
Just to be clear, Al is probably the person with the least online presence I know, of the most techie people I know. He's done a very good job of being anonymous to Demo Jam.
That's right.
There's no point keeping it up anymore.
That's why I'm an unknown quantity, Matt. I don't know what to expect.
Matt, just to be fair to the listeners, you're, I think, the most organised of the group. Can I reveal that? Is that a fair comment? It's not giving away too much?
I have no idea how organised Graham is. He seems very organised.
I've got to tell you guys, there's a part of Demo Jam that you missed. And you missed it because you were rehearsing and doing other things. But immediately before Demo Jam, you may recall there was a global communications event at one of the nightclubs in the Palazzo Hotel.
Robbo, be careful. This is classified information, Robbo. Are you sure you want to divulge some of this stuff? Are you sure?
It is classified. It is classified information.
Okay.
So I can share a little bit with you.
Go ahead.
But I think we're losing Tony. Keep going, Grant.
So in this particular gathering, of course, it was a global communications meeting, so all the bloggers and the VIPs and everyone was there, and they made the strategic error of inviting the mentors along, thinking we would mingle with everyone, but of course the mentors immediately went to the bar and leant against it, and we were all chatting amongst ourselves, because funnily enough, we don't get to see each other very often. And so there were a couple of them who will remain nameless, wandering around the whole 2 hours we were there, lobbying for the Aussies at the demo jam. And as people were walking out of the nightclub, there was one in particular who was there saying, "Vote for the Aussies, vote for the Aussies," and trying. You may recall there was a mentor on one of the other teams and saying, "No, no, we're not interested in those blokes, they're poms. Vote for the Aussies, vote for the Aussies." So there was some serious lobbying going on while you guys were rehearsing. It was all very tongue-in-cheek, but it was a lot of fun.
It would have been, sounded like a lot of fun.
The thing I enjoyed the most, Robbo, was when Marilyn did the Aussie, Aussie, Aussie chant.
That's right.
I think that's priceless.
Yeah. I know, it was very much appreciated. I know there was a lot of work done there to stir up the crowd.
It was a lot of fun, mate.
Potentially, but, you know.
Like they say, it's a production, Matt. It's all part of the show. You need the groupies, you need the fans, you need the roadies, you need the whole lot as part of the show.
The storyteller. I think that's what I'm going to be calling the thing.
So lads, can we tell a little bit? How much do you want to reveal about the engine? I mean, it's up on the code share. So you've done the deal with Rui, so he was very, very pleased that all the paperwork went through, and the code is officially there for all. I think apart from Gregor Wolf, if we had any other interest in, has anybody hit on you directly to ask you any questions about it or any finer points or anything like that?
I think most of the people that probably registered looking at it would understand it just by looking at it. It's really not that difficult.
Right. Yeah, we had some good questions on the Meet the Jammers day. We only had 4 or 5 people turn up, but they asked some good questions. They wanted to talk a lot about, you know, what they could do with HTML and, you know, what they meant. They talked about the shifting side and, you know, what we've done on the other side. But, yeah, it was a good discussion, I think, that day. But, yeah, I think there hasn't been, obviously, you know, we put the code up in the coach end. Oh, yeah, I've noticed a couple of requests to get involved, but I don't know whether Matt's been seeing ones that I haven't, so I'm not sure how many people actually have a look.
There's not that many, but yeah, I mean, you've got people like Gregor Wilson there who, you know, it could be trivial for them, you know.
Okay, he could have had it with his
eyes.
Yeah, the thing with co-chair guys is when they eventually get the chip through license or something happening, you'll get a whole lot more there. I mean, I know a whole lot of people who've been talking to me about the fact that, you know, downloading and signing a bit of paper and faxing it off has got knobs on it, they ain't going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it needs to be a little bit more work to make it a bit more seamless with the whole in and out, like the sat link stuff, but yeah, I'm not quite fully, yeah, we'll see how it progresses over time. It's a good idea how to take off.
The important thing you guys showed wasn't the code, it was taking a simple technology and making it work. You know, I'm sure you guys would admit it wasn't rocket science. You just pulled together some readily available technology and made it work. And, so the code, the actual physical code, isn't important.
Yeah,
agree.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. So Tony, have a link to the actual original video submission, because that gives an idea of what it originally looked like and what we were talking about. It's, I think I specifically say it's not rocket science in there.
I think that was part of the sell point.
And an Android as well. I've got an Android tablet PC about the same size as an iPod that emulated in there, which would be nice to have.
That's right, yeah. Well, you did a version of the emulator, didn't you?
Yeah. And just because it works much better on Android than both iPods.
How many comments should I expect in what's in the code share? Should code be self-documenting, mate, or should I expect like reams and reams of documentation about him?
No, there's no comments in that code, mate, but at the same time, it's not exactly clean. So I'll leave you to that.
There's lots of CSS recommendations I'd make to the person who wrote that CSS code that they should have done to it.
And you'll be addressing those at Mastering Technologies in March,
right? I'll be giving you all the hints of how to do the right things and CSS tags to make this right.
Very, very good.
Can we spare 1 minute to tell the listeners how much the family puts up with? Like, you guys did a lot of development out of ours. I think we started the whole push for the entry, an Amazon Cloud WAS. And I noticed I'd log on really late, and Matt would be on, and Al would be on. It eats into your personal life, and I think your wife and your kids put up with it because they know who you are, and they know what makes you tick. Matt put in an absolute blinder when he had to put the video together, and I saw some of the tweets come through at some crazy, crazy, crazy hours.
I think Matty pulled it all night on that one, I think.
It was 4 a.m, but I had to get up about 8 o'clock. So, look, and for my part, I would say I'll put most of the effort in, and I was mainly the style guy and the front end guy. And it really didn't take as much as you're making it sound from my part. I know a lot of the effort went into the JavaScript and the business object stuff. You wouldn't say it as I think if we had full time jobs, it would have been, 2 to 3 weeks easy. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
If it was a full time job and we were doing it, you'd have this in production in a month. But
this was your actual project, yeah, absolutely.
This was an actual project, but doing it your own time, you just do it,
Take it when you can, yeah.
That was, 2 hours probably every night for me. It was probably over 2 weeks. That was a big sprint for the video editing, just a shocker.
Yeah.
Especially when you get a pretty half-pad recording from now, and you can't do anything with it except try and make it work. It recorded a lot of words in a lot of seconds, you know how you'd get a podcast from me and remove all the ums? There's no ums in our speak. You can edit that out again and start talking again. That was around 2:30 in the morning when I was listening to that one. It was good. The whole iMac experience with the iMovie was pretty good while going. And I probably recommend YouTube to post it, because getting the video down to whatever meg that you have to post, it's just impossible to keep it at decent quality.
That was never going to happen, was it?
No, so I follow the lead of a European guy,
Yeah, I remember you having struggles with video last year, mate, when we tried to submit the Twitter thing.
Oh man, it's shocking. It's user friendly, but it's quite selective about who it's friendly with. So it just didn't like me. If you guys were going to give advice to some newbies, would you recommend the whole Demo Jam experience, or would you say, let go of the Demo Jam? What's the other guys doing? Just enjoy your tech ed and learn. How would you encourage or discourage a newbie, guys?
I certainly would encourage you to put something in, especially if you've got something that you're working on in the background. Something that and I guess the other side is, you may not think it's technically amazing, but arguably it was ours, and it fit the right mood and everything at the time. So if you got something and you think, I'd love to get this up there, you just, to me, and this is where Matt actually saved us, but without Matt being able to put the video together, that was to me the hardest part of the whole damn submission. Actually delivering it. We cut code for breakfast, but making videos, different story.
The music track was easy. That was okay. Music fine with me.
The video's got to sell it as well. So you need to, and we pushed ourselves right to the date limit. That was up all night as we did that. But plan for it. But from a person coming out of doing it, look, absolutely. Do not think. Well, unless you're somebody who, if you stand at Demo Jam and you go, you're not interested in you're there for the beer, but if you sit there and at least once think, I could do that, or I've got a better eye than that, then you should do it.
Absolutely. Bring it on.
Bring it on, exactly. Yeah. Because, we'll leave it at that. But, I would actually encourage anybody to do it.
Yeah.
It will change your tech ed, and you won't get to, it's a very different experience. I mean, if you're used to going to ticket and just running between sessions, you're going to lose about 3 days, but hey, it's worth it.
That's definitely right. I mean, just to point out, I mean, Al and I are used to doing last minute things. That's a good uni, isn't it?
It is indeed.
But also, exactly, if you've got a better idea than us, go for it. I mean, that's what you try to think, you know, oh, I could do that, and you probably can.
Yeah.
People like Luke, you know, John was a guy I met up with after we finished Demo Jam. You know, it's just great to meet these sort of guys and talk about Demo Jam. I mean, he's been a few years, 2 years now, I think it was.
Yeah.
2 or 3. You obviously get an idea every year that gets up, but, yeah, I think, you know, it's a great experience, and people you meet, and, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, gotcha. Definitely, yeah, I totally agree.
If you want to ease into the Las Vegas one, there's always Mastering Technology Center down this year, in March. That could be a good way of easing yourself in.
Robbo, can you chime in here? What do you think? Is it going to be as big a production as the famous Craig Shamil offering?
Or a true mediocre one?
Yeah, it'll be very mediocre. and I think you're absolutely right. It's a great way to ease in because, you know, it's a much smaller audience. It's a much more relaxed environment. You know, one of the things with the Demo Jam in a place as big as, you know, Ticket in the US has is, you know, you guys won Demo Jam. We were all up there at the front. Like, we were right in row one. But all the execs and everyone swamped you afterwards, and we sat around and chatted and wandered off. But, you know, one of the things about, you know, the event we'll have in March, which will be after a inside track day, is that, you know, we'll have 200 people in the room, if that, and we'll all be able to have a chat, have a beer afterwards. It's designed to be at the beginning of the night rather than the end. So it's designed that we all have a bit of a drink and see what's going on, and then we can all have a chat afterwards and share experiences and talk about ideas. So I think you're absolutely right. It's a great way to dip your toe in the water and have a bit of a feel. So I'd encourage anyone to stick up a submission and get in there. There's more than a fair chance that you'll get a chance to do your stuff. And, you know, if you screw up, who cares? You know, we're all there to learn and find out what works and what doesn't, and when you've got 6 minutes under pressure and something fails, it's all worth it.
You know, look, I really wouldn't want to be going to a Demo Jam and presenting and then going and drinking if I had a keynote the next day. That'd be really tough. I'd hate to be anyone who'd have to do that and, you know, go up against the Aussies.
That's a very good point, mate. you'd have to feel under severe pressure, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no pressure. And I suspect you might have some performance anxiety.